Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Is the Holy Spirit doing a new thing in the church? Or maybe is the Holy Spirit doing new things in the church? There are all sorts of alleged new outpourings of the Holy Spirit, new manifestations to catch the eye and the attention of the church-going Christian. There's holy laughter, there's being drunk in the Spirit or slain in the Spirit. Are these genuine manifestations and movements of the Holy Spirit of God, or are they something else? And how would you tell? Everyone seems so sincere. These seem to happen on a regular basis, almost like flipping a switch. How do you know whether or not the animal noises you may hear if you walk into a charismatic church are simply people being silly, or the Holy Spirit moving them to new manifestations and revelations of Himself and of God? When someone claims that they went to a revival, and when they came back, the fillings in their teeth had gone from being silver to gold, how do you verify that? We'll talk about that during this hour of Issues Etc. Our guest Bob Leko, alleged new outpourings of the Holy Spirit. We'll try to go through all of those one by one during this hour. We're coming to you live this Sunday evening. It's Mother's Day, May the 11th. If you'd like to join us with a question or a comment, our phone number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We also have a live in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, before we begin our discussion with Bob Leko on these alleged manifestations of the Holy Spirit, you folks out there in Northern California listening to us on KFAX AM 1100, we need to hear from some of you in the next month. We spend about $455 each week for the purchase of airtime on KFAX. Now, local churches do cover about 40% of this airtime purchase, but we still need a commitment of more than $7,000 in the next 4 weeks in order to continue the broadcast of Issues Etc. on KFAX for the rest of 2003. Now, that means, if you do the math, we need 30 listeners to pledge $250 apiece, or 15 listeners to pledge $500 apiece, or we might also need, we could also figure it out this way, 7 listeners to pledge $1,000 apiece. Now, you can donate by credit card by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. We do have people available to take your pledges live in the next 2 hours, 1-800-737-0172. No gift is too small, by the way, 1-800-737-0172. Or if you'd like to make out a check and donate this week, you can send it to Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That address again, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Our guest during this hour, Bob Leko, is a former Word Faith pastor and graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. He's co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit, Michigan, and author of the new book called Blessing or Judgment, The Origin of Manifestations in the Church. Bob, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Pastor Todd.
Bob, you come at this issue of alleged new manifestations of the Holy Spirit from the inside out. Tell us your story in the kind of radical charismatic fringe and how you came out.
Well, it's a long story, but I'll make it very short. While I was a student at the University of Michigan, several people on our dorm hall got involved with the Word of God community, which was an ecumenical, charismatic community that really got its start from Notre Dame as part of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, and it sort of branched out and accepted all types of people, not just Catholics. You could be a Protestant, evangelical, didn't matter. So I got inducted into the charismatic movement through the Word of God community, and later on joined a small new church in Ann Arbor that was started by a pastor who had graduated from Rhema in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is Kenneth Hagin's Bible School. And eventually I became the assistant pastor at that church, and while there, I became one of the probably few students in this part of the country that actually graduated from Robert Tilton's Satellite Bible School. During that time, I was well indoctrinated into the Word of Faith teachings. And later on, we moved back to Detroit and sat under another Rhema pastor who had left the Word of Faith movement and had joined his congregation to the, at that time, fledgling prophetic movement, which morphed into the apostolic movement, which is, all of this now has come together in what they call the signs and wonders movement. In other words, Word of Faith teaching and prophetic stuff and apostolic things and discipleship and shepherding concepts have sort of all merged together now into this signs and wonders movement. And so we had heard that the Lord was moving in Toronto in about the mid-90s. And so my wife and I, we wanted to get a blessing and certainly wanted to be part of what the Lord was doing, as we'd been attempting to do for approximately 15 years, riding the different waves of the Spirit that were coming along. So we ran up to Toronto to get the Toronto blessing. And that's how we became familiar with all of these new manifestations, which were new to us, and we'd been around the block, so to speak, as far as the charismatic movement was concerned. And the things that were going on in Toronto were novel to us and unheard of. And so we began to really question what we were seeing, because we simply had no reference point in our experience or biblically to support the things that they were declaring to be the new wine of the Holy Spirit. So as we looked into these manifestations and I began to do research on them, I became more and more fully convinced that what was taking place was not a genuine revival by the Holy Spirit, but I believe a massive and wholesale deception of sincere people, but people who are looking for experiences that simply do not have the attending biblical support for them.
Now, in order to discuss these things, it is fair to say that Christians are going to try their very level best to exercise proper discernment. In fact, Scripture calls us to be discerning of the spirits, not to believe every spirit. I have before me a quote from Mike Bickle, who's considered one of the foremost restored prophets by many in the charismatic renewal movement. He says the following: "To test the validity of a spiritual manifestation or phenomenon, we should examine the overall belief system and lifestyle and changes in them, those affected by them. Second, we should look at the overall beliefs and lifestyles of those being used to impart the experience, if human mediation is a factor. We should test the short and long-term fruit of the experience and on both individuals and churches. And finally, we need to evaluate the overall glory given to Jesus Christ in the general context in which the phenomena are occurring." Sounds like he's calling for discernment. What's missing here, Bob?
Well, it's interesting, and Mike Bickle is very well known and is a internationally known charismatic leader. And the problem I have with his statement, really, it boils down to what they would consider looking at the fruit. And they would say that, well, let's judge the fruit. Let's look at the individual who's going there to receive, you know, say the Toronto blessing. Let's look at the ministers who are imparting the Toronto blessing and look at their lives and see what changes are taking place and are good things happening in them personally and are their churches being blessed by this? And if so, is glory being given to Jesus? And all those things sound very good, but there's one thing that he left out of his equation. At no point does he ever mention looking at the scriptures to see if what is taking place is in fact biblically based. What he's talking about is simply looking at the subjective fruit. And what I did in my research on the fruit, what I've discovered is that almost every church that has embraced this new revival, almost all of those churches have suffered a split. I know we have a book out called Fruit Proof, and it's hundreds of eyewitness testimonies of people who went to these meetings to be blessed, most of them Pentecostal charismatic people, and ended up, in their words, being cursed by attending and participating in these meetings. So there's some good fruit and there's some bad fruit. So we can't look to that. We've got to look to God's Word and let God's Word alone be the standard by which we judge all of our faith and practice. And that's something that Mr. Bickle simply never refers to. He never suggests looking at the Scripture. He says, look at the people, look at the ministers. Is glory being given to Jesus? Well, things are done every day in this world in the name of Jesus that he is not involved with. You could look at the Mormon church. You could look at the Jehovah's Witnesses. A lot of people do things in his name and say they're giving glory to Jesus, but he's not glorified in it at all. He's glorified when his word is lifted up, when, you know, the preaching of the gospel goes forward. That brings glory to the Lord, not some strange manifestations that are very curious, to say the least.
Well, let's do exactly what Bob Leko is suggesting we do when we come back from this break, turning our attention first to holy laughter. See what Holy Scripture has to say about the so-called holy laughter. Is it a manifestation of the Spirit, or is it a manifestation of something else? If you'd like to join our conversation, our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We can also take your email live here in the studio at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Bob Leko is our guest. We're talking about alleged new outpourings of the Holy Spirit.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration. Folks, I would absolutely love to have the opportunity to spend some time with you and Issues Etc. regular guests Craig Parton and Rolf Preuss, George Mather and Angus Manoj for a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar. It's going to be June the 20th through the 27th at the beautiful Marvin M. Schwann Retreat Center in Trago, Wisconsin. Now, that's about 2 hours from Minneapolis. Not only will you have an opportunity there to relax in the beauty and serenity of the picturesque Namekagon River, true private lakes, miles of hiking trails and abundant wildlife, but you'll also have the opportunity to refocus and renew by listening to instruction on things like Darwinism's failure, theological liberalism, the grandeur and misery of American evangelicalism, and much more. So call the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center at 1-800-577-4848 and ask for information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 20th through the 27th. Now, the cost of this is only $229. That's $229, which includes admittance to these lectures, 7 nights lodging, and all of your meals, $229. The number, 1-800-577-4848, 1-800-577-4848, or you can get more information on this seminar at our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar. Join me and my family, Issues Etc. staff, and the regular guest that I mentioned before for this seminar, June 20th through the 27th at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin. The website address, issuesetc.org. You can find information there or call the Schwann Center, 1-800-577-4848. We're talking about alleged new outpourings of the Holy Spirit, slain in the Spirit, Holy Laughter, Drunkenness in the Spirit, Gold Teeth, and the Rest with Bob Leko. Bob, Holy Laughter, what is it?
Well, Holy Laughter is the primary sign, that, according to the revivalist, of what is taking place now by the Holy Spirit. And when you receive this new wine, the manifestation that you, the recipient, exude is spontaneous, uncontrollable laughter. We were in Toronto. We've been there several times and been to other churches that are embracing this renewal or revival. People go forward at the end of the service. Hands are laid on them, and as soon as hands are laid on them, they begin to go into this laughter mode, which can go on for quite some time, you know, half hour, an hour, people just literally rolling on the floor laughing. And the ministers and people praying for the other people are simply saying, that's it, that's the Holy Spirit, that's the new wine, you know, receive it, receive it. And that's what's going on. Some people go there, and they go there in one state, and they leave in an altered state due to all of this laughing. It's very interesting to watch take place.
Now, how would you evaluate it? Before the break, we were talking about discerning the spirits, but discerning the spirits in light of Holy Scripture's clear teaching on the purpose of signs and what signs ought to be, and the signs that are shown in the Holy Scripture to be genuine signs of the Holy Spirit. How would you evaluate Holy Laughter?
Well, they of course, we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. So they certainly, many of these leaders do attempt to appeal to Scripture, and what they've done in trying to defend this manifestation is they've looked and taken the verses in the Bible which deal with joy, and they say joy is synonymous with laughter, that if you are joyful, then the obvious outgrowth or manifestation of that joy in your life is going to be an expression of laughter. And since when you enter into the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy, then logically we must expect people to begin to laugh uncontrollably, you know, as they receive or open their spirits up to more of the presence of God, then the more they will laugh. And that's sort of their apologetic for it. The problem is, biblically, laughter and joy are different words altogether. They're not the same in the Greek or the Hebrew. And if anyone does and the listeners are welcome to do this and simply get a concordance and do a word study on their own, they'll find out that over 90% of the time that the actual word laughter is used in the Bible, it's always in a negative sense in the use. It's always a derogatory term, a scornful type of laughing. There's nothing that says that when the Holy Spirit descends upon a person, the result is uncontrollable laughter.
Now, with only about 3 minutes here before we got to wrap up, outline this for us, because Holy Laughter is a kind of a case in point of this spreading, impartation of these kind of alleged new moves of the Holy Spirit. About 2 minutes here, Bob. How did Holy Laughter spread from Toronto?
Well, it's something that's very easily transmitted, apparently. It really got its start with the advent of Rodney Howard Brown and even Benny Hinn, who was imparting Holy Laughter in South Africa in the late 80s. Rodney Howard Brown came here in the early 90s, and he was speaking at a meeting down in Tulsa, and Randy Clark, one of the Vineyard pastors, went there, had hands laid on him several times. He got the gift of laughter, took it back to his friend John Arnott and his church up in Toronto. They began to hold some sessions where they were laying hands on their church members there in Toronto. They were all receiving this manifestation. Word spread, and people began to travel to the Toronto airport to have hands laid on them to receive this gift. So that's kind of the genesis of it. It's humanly transmitted. There is not one documented case of a church spontaneously erupting or, you know, into this laughter, receiving this gift apart from a human mediator. So it's not a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. It's something that is carried by men to men. And it's also very interesting that the churches that have entered into this revival, none of them are, they are all charismatic churches. This is not taking place at the Presbyterian Church down the corner or the Lutheran Church, you know, down the street. Unless someone comes there and prepares the people, shows videos, tells them what to expect, brings in the minister, and then they have a spontaneous act of the Spirit in their midst.
We'll pick up on that after this break, folks. Not only Holy Laughter, but we'll move on to talking about being slain in the Spirit. Perhaps you've seen that as well. One of the things that concerns me most deeply about these alleged new manifestations of the Holy Spirit is the disconnect, the divorce that seems to be occurring, and really the takeover of the signs over the clear proclamation of God's Word. Now, the Bible may be open, but sometimes the Bible's closed, and the signs take over, and people say that means the Spirit's moving. But Scripture says the Spirit moves when God's Word is made clear and plain. And at the center of that Word of God is the message of Christ and Him crucified. That's what really, at least to my way of thinking, is getting shoved to the background, or perhaps completely off the stage altogether with these new signs and manifestations. Luther said the cross is our theology. And I think it remains the message of the cross that we glory in rather than the signs if we would stay with St. Paul. You know, American evangelicals desperately need to read our Issues, Etc. book of the month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Gene Edward Veith. You can receive your copy by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours. The number is 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book costs only $8.99 plus shipping and handling. You can also order online tonight. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the Issues, Etc. book of the month for May called The Spirituality of the Cross. When you call or when you write, be sure to ask for the Issues, Etc. book of the month for May by Dr. Gene Edward Veith, The Spirituality of the Cross, 1-800-325-3040. We'll be right back. Talk more with Bob Lico after this. When you hear the word spirituality, you might be tempted to think of something completely subjective, an inward reality, a matter of personal feelings. But Scripture teaches that the spirituality of the cross is grounded in the concrete objectivity of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ crucified. You can read more about this spirituality in the Issues, Etc. book of the month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross. You can order The Spirituality of the Cross online at issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section and you'll find information on this book, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I'm Todd Wilkin. We're joined by Craig Parton. Craig will be one of the speakers at a Confessional Christian Worldview seminar coming up on June 20th through the 27th at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin. Craig, tell us about one of your lectures titled The Grandeur and Misery of American Evangelicalism.
The subject is going to cover issues related to the interplay between Lutheranism and American evangelicalism. And we will be looking at the theology of American evangelicalism, where it comes from. We'll be looking at the grandeur of it, that which we can learn from, the things in American evangelicalism that have a lot to offer, that are positive, that those from the Reformation perspective can learn from. So for both evangelicals and those from the Reformation who may attend, that particular presentation will, I think, look particularly at the historical issues and things that we can learn from, but also what have come to be some of the weaknesses and dangers even in American evangelical theology. And interestingly enough, why is it the Reformation churches have succeeded largely in taking the weaknesses of American evangelicalism and passing over what those strengths might be? We'll look at what that attractiveness has been to American Lutheranism in the Reformation, why they've been attracted to American evangelicalism, and what the dangers of that have been. And kind of cut through a path to try and see what the Reformation can learn and what it can avoid.
That's Greg Parton, one of the speakers at a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 20th through the 27th, at the beautiful Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin, about 2 hours from Minneapolis. Now, for more information, call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848. That's 1-800-577-4848, or go to our website at issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June 20th through the 27th in Trago, Wisconsin. For more information, that number again, 1-800-577-4848. The cost of the seminar is $229, including 19 meals and 7 nights lodging. If you'd like more information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June 20th through the 27th in Trago, Wisconsin, call 1-800-577-4848, 1-800-577-4848, or visit our Issues Etc. website at issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the seminar. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss pietism with Professor Larry Rast of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, what's the difference between piety and pietism? Is the certainty of your salvation based on your experience, your feelings, your good works? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Professor Larry Rast. Now, if you'd like to know what we're going to be discussing on Issues Etc. for the rest of May and into the month of June, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find there a list of topics and guests for the weeks ahead. While you're there, be sure to read several excellent articles by our guest in this hour, Bob Leko, on manifestations in the church. That website address again, issuesetc.org. Now, if you've got a question or a comment on holy laughter, being slain in the Spirit, drunk in the Spirit, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Bob Leko is our guest. He's a former Word Faith pastor, a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. He's co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit, and author of the new book, Blessing or Judgment, The Origin of Manifestations in the Church. Bob, slain in the Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit supposedly doing in this manifestation?
Well, people are probably more familiar with this manifestation than any of the other ones that we're going to talk about or that I cover in the book, because it's pretty easy to see people being slain in the Spirit by watching TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network's television program, with Benny Hinn on there or other ministers. What this is when the pastor or leader lays his hands on the person coming up for prayer, and they fall backwards into the arms of the catcher, who gently lays them on the ground, and the minister continues to go on. What they would define being slain in the Spirit is simply the power of God coming upon the physical frame of an individual in such a tremendous way that their physical body simply cannot withstand the weight of the glory of God. In fact, I'll quote Catherine Kuhlman when she was challenged about this manifestation. And for the listeners, Catherine Kuhlman was probably the most prominent person in the charismatic movement to really make this manifestation accepted and widespread. She was the one that was known to have people being slain in the spirit regularly on her televised broadcast. So that kind of gave a lot of people a peek into what goes on in sort of these revival services. What Ms. Coleman said is this: all I can believe is that our spiritual beings are not wired for God's full power. And when we plug into that power, we just cannot survive it. We are wired for low voltage. God is high voltage through the Holy Spirit. So when hands are laid on you, you're just a low voltage person. That mighty power of God comes on your body and you are thrown backwards into what I would call, having been slain in the spirit many times, a somewhat altered state of consciousness. I've always now, upon looking back at it, I find it interesting that the ministers, I guess, we must have been more highly anointed than the people we were laying our hands on, because I've laid hands on people and they've fallen down, but I didn't fall down. I don't see Benny Hinn falling down. Sometimes he may stagger back a little theatrically as he's got scads of people flopping around on the floor like fish out of water. But that's kind of interesting, though, the people praying for people, the ministers themselves are not overcome by this mighty presence of God, just the people they're touching.
Now, one of the passages that is cited, in particular by John Wimber, who's founder of the Vineyard Charismatic Denomination, in order to find biblical precedent for being slain in the spirit, is Genesis 2:21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Does this passage bear the weight of the so-called slain in the spirit manifestation?
No, absolutely not. There's nothing in that text that corresponds at all to what happens in a church service today. God didn't lay hands on Adam and then Adam went into this altered state. Very strongly in the Hebrew it says God caused Adam to go into a deep sleep. He put him to sleep. We don't know how he did that. Certainly it's nothing comparable to what Benny Hinn is doing or what's going on at Toronto during what they call carpet time, or soaking in the presence of God, where hands are laid on the people and they fall onto the carpet for maybe 2 or 3 hours. So it's kind of an apples to oranges attempt to rationalize something that really can't be justified biblically. And they use other examples. They cite the example of Paul's conversion, how the glory of God appears and he's thrown off of his horse. Yeah, that's very true. What has that got to do with laying hands on people and having them fall down in a service?
Very briefly, Bob, is there supposed to be, beyond just being overcome, I guess, a benefit to being slain in the spirit for the person who is allegedly slain?
Well, some people will testify, and they have testified at Toronto, that after getting up, after doing their carpet time, that they know in their hearts God has called them into some form of ministry. Some people will report seeing visions of the Lord or being taken to heaven briefly and given some sort of divine commands. The majority of people, though, who are slain in the spirit get up. Their lives are not radically changed. They don't enter into a higher level of sanctification or anything like that. Often it's accompanied when you pray, well, at least in our case, when we'd pray for people, you know, who were sick, we'd lay hands on them, they'd fall down, they might get up and say, oh, their back doesn't hurt anymore, or, you know, their stomach pain left or the headache left or whatever. But there's no real quantitative list of benefits that anyone's ever said, you know, when you're slain in the spirit, A, B, C, D, or E is going to happen to you. It's, again, all very individualistic, all very personal, all very subjective. You may feel great, another person may not feel anything. So there really is no standard guide to go by, and certainly no biblical one, to validate the experience or what it's supposed to do. It's just one of those things, Todd. It's a sign. It's a wonder. It makes people sitting by scratch their heads and wonder, what is this? What's going on here? And the only testimony we have are the people that have received the manifestation. And so they become the experts. The John Wimbers and John Arnotts and many hens, they become the great theologians or the redactors or whatever that are going to tell us what's going on, because the Bible is silent about it, except for a few passages that they like to take out of context. You know, such as the people coming to arrest Jesus, and Jesus says, "I am he," and the Roman soldiers fall backwards. Well, they were slain in the spirit, Reverend Leko. It's right there, right in the Bible. No, wait a second. These were unconverted people. They fell backwards. No one was there to catch them. They got up seemingly almost instantly, and, nothing at all like what happens in a church service today.
Folks, if you were trying to get through and you're getting a busy signal, we'll be freeing up some phone lines here in just a moment. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go first to Marlene, who's listening in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, listening on WGNV. Marlene, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello. If it's not the manifestation of a Holy Spirit, what is it? Because I've been in a church where everyone was laughing and, like, barking, and I was the only one there that wasn't. And the next day, they'll tell me it was the Holy Spirit. And I'm wondering, do they think they have to have this manifestation? And they look at me like, well, why didn't you have it? And I'm a Christian. I've had Christ in my life since I've been 3. And so I'm wondering, what spirit is it if they're doing this and I am not?
Several good questions there, Marlene. First of all, if it isn't a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, Bob, what is it?
Well, there's certainly, I think, two distinct possibilities. Number one, I believe very, very firmly that we can state without a doubt that what is taking place is not the work of the Holy Spirit. So we leave the divine out. That leaves us only two sources: mankind himself or the influence of the demonic realm. So you've either got man or the devil. And I think you have a little bit of both sometimes taking place. Laughter, for instance, is very contagious. You get in a room and somebody starts laughing, and everybody's laugh is different and it's funny to other people. And you stick a microphone in that person's face and their laughter gets boomed all over the auditorium, and the people are there and they're told, that's it, that's the Holy Spirit, take it, receive it. Don't pray, don't think, just receive, drink it in now. And, you know, you've gone to the service, and in many cases, to get something. You want to receive something from the Lord. And so you yield and you go with the flow and you find yourself laughing, and you've been conned into thinking that was the Holy Spirit. Other cases where people go to a service and they go up front and they go there with the mindset of saying, I see these people are getting knocked down, they're falling down. I'm not going to do that. I refuse to do that. They go up, hands are laid on them, and they testify that a force literally pushed them to the ground and pinned them to the ground for 2 or 3 hours where they were, you know, immobile, unable to move. Then I think you've got some other spiritual forces working there.
Now, Marlene had another question. I want to get to that after this break. Folks, if you'd like to receive a free tape of this hour and the next hour's internet-only broadcast on alleged new outpourings of the Holy Spirit, there's really only one way to do so. You need to contact the local church that sponsors Issues, Etc., and they'll send you a free cassette recording of these 2 hours on the alleged new outpourings of the Holy Spirit with Bob Leko. Get a pen and a piece of paper ready, because you should hear an announcement with a phone number and a mailing address during the next break, and again right after the Issues, Etc. close theme. We're talking about alleged new outpourings of the Holy Spirit, slain in the Spirit, holy laughter. We'll talk next about spiritual drunkenness with Bob Leko. He's a former Word Faith pastor and graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. He's co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit, Michigan, and author of the new book, Blessing or Judgment? The Origin of Manifestations in the Church. We'll also take your phone calls on the other side of the break. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Now, Bob has mentioned several times this term, new wine, the new wine of the Spirit. And it seems that some in the radical charismatic movement have taken that particular term to heart, and now they're talking about not only being slain in the Spirit or moved to laughter by the Spirit, but actually being drunk in the Spirit. I've heard people even tell me, I've been through it, I've come out of it, I don't believe it anymore, but when I left that church, I was drunk. We'll find out what that's all about right after this.
A Voice in the Wilderness of American Evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Darwinism, pantheism, utopianism, postmodernism. There are many popular worldviews today. Some are obvious, some are not. But they all whittle away at the Christian faith. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Join me and Issues, Etc. regular guest Craig Parton, Rolf Preuss, George Mather, and Angus Manouge for a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar June 20th through the 27th at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin. The cost is only $229, and this includes the seminar, 7 nights lodging, and all your meals. Now, for more information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June 20th through the 27th in northern Wisconsin, call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848, 1-800-577-4848, or check out our website, issuesetc.org, and under the What's New section, you'll find information on this seminar. I hope to see you there. Folks, if you'd like to purchase Bob Leko's new book called Blessing or Judgment, The Origin of Manifestations in the Church, you can do so at Amazon.com. That's easy, isn't it? Amazon.com. Or if you'd like to know how to contact Bob Leko's organization, you can call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. We'll give you the phone number and the mailing address for Discernment Ministry International, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can check out their website by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you're going to find a direct link to our guest, Bob Leko, and Discernment Ministry International. The website address, issuesetc.org. Before we go back to the phones, there was one question Marlene had, and I think we need to get to it very briefly, and that is, with these other manifestations, she asked, must I have this? Is the mindset of the radical charismatic fringe that holy laughter, slain in the spirit, are necessary to prove your pedigree as a Christian?
Oh, absolutely. For the extremists, it's very important, and this was sort of the carrot that was dangled in front of our nose for little over 15 years, my wife and myself, was, you know, you wanted to be part of what the Lord was doing today. You wanted to be part of the current move of God. And certainly we would get a lot of teaching out of the Old Testament about the children of Israel, how they were led by the pillar of fire and the cloud. And so, you know, God was moving. And so God is still moving today. And so at one point he was moving in the discipleship shepherding. And then he was moving in the word of faith. And then the prophets. Now the apostles. Now the signs and wonders. So if you want to be in on what the Spirit of the Lord is doing, you've got to be continually moving and accepting new teachings and practices and beliefs that you may, you know, were unfamiliar with 10 years ago, and this is the new thing the Lord is doing. And of course, well, I want to be up on what the Lord's doing. I want to be a part of that, which that's, again, part of the sad thing I find, Todd, is that that's a very good and legitimate desire in the hearts of any believer. You want to be involved with what the Holy Spirit is doing, and you want to be profitable to the master's use. And unfortunately, these people feel, in order to be profitable, to be of use to God, you've got to be involved in what they, you know, have been led to believe he is doing, which in this case means, yes, you must go to a church that is experiencing the revival, or the river, as they would call it, and you've got to jump into that river. You've got to drink of the new wine if you want to be used by God in this last great end-time soul-saving harvest. And, of course, the leaders that are behind this current style of revivalism are, of course, teaching that because they want to continue to see these things go forward. They're making a lot of money off of this through these meetings and through their books and tapes and videos and conferences that they speak at. So, of course, they want to tell people, hey, you want to be used by God, you've got to come here. You've got to partake of what we've got. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people all over the world are more than willing to do this because they believe they have to. But as far as I believe Noreen's question goes, no, you do not need to do this to be used of God, to be pleasing to God. And in fact, I believe your life will be more pleasing to Him if you run away from this sort of stuff and get in a good Bible-teaching church and turn your attention to Christ as revealed in Scripture and enjoy what experiences you may or may not have in the course of that, but you continue to walk by faith according to the Word of God, not according to the latest prophetic word from the restored prophet or apostle.
Let's take another phone call. James is calling from San Jose, California. He's listening on KFAX. James, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Greetings. Good evening, brothers. I was baptized at an Assembly of God church, and the pastor, he didn't believe in the efficaciousness of speaking in tongues. And they got a new pastor, and he was a Pentecostal, and they do a lot of speaking in tongues there, and they're trying to raise the dead. And I asked him about Revelations, John 17, or 1:17, and I asked him, was John slain in the spirit when he said, I fell at my feet as dead, or I fell at his feet as dead? And he said, absolutely. And it looks like he's fallen forward, and everyone, when they're slain in the spirit, they fall backward, and they contribute it to the Holy Spirit. But it's hard for me to believe that they're in the spirit without beholding the fruits of the spirit in them.
James, and thank you. Go ahead.
I went to also came across the Gold Dust Church, where gold teeth are appearing in people's mouth out of nowhere, and they're saying it's the horses from the Golden City, and they're scratching their hoofs.
Now, James, thank you for recounting your experiences there. A reaction about a minute and a half here before we have to wrap things up, Bob.
Sure, that's another one of the proof texts they like to use. But again, here we have an example of a genuine apostle having an encounter with the risen Christ, and Jesus appears before him physically, and he falls at his master's feet in worship. There's nothing that says the Holy Spirit, you know, slayed him, came upon him. I mean, if Jesus walked through your wall right now in the room you're at, you're going to fall on your face and worship him. That is the only proper response for anyone to have. In fact, the Bible clearly says that the time is coming that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So that has nothing to do with hands being laid on people and them falling to the carpet for an hour or two.
Now, Bob, this is really the most important and often overlooked thing when sorting through these alleged manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The central teaching of Christianity is Christ and Him crucified. Paul says, "Far be it from me to glory in anything save the cross of Jesus Christ." And he's not just talking about mentioning Jesus on the cross or an occasional honorable mention of Jesus as much as the glories added on top. He's talking about the proclamation of what Jesus says, repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of the one who is crucified and raised from the dead, that message is indispensable to the life of the Christian church. Now, how prevalent is this central message of Christianity in the churches that are having these manifestations? Are they simply bored with the gospel?
I would say that the actual proclamation of the gospel has certainly taken a back seat in these meetings. In fact, through my research and attending many meetings and just being a part of the charismatic movement and being in services where, in our minds, the Spirit was really moving, many times there was actually no preaching at all, and those meetings were considered to be highly anointed, and the Spirit of the Lord and the presence of the Lord was there in full manifestation, because the pastor or the teacher did not get to the preaching of the Bible. And that was a sign that the Lord was really moving. You know, we had to set aside our agenda so the Holy Spirit could have His way and do His thing, versus us doing our thing, such as sharing the gospel, you know, message. So, yeah, I think that they have really divorced themselves in a great way from the Word of God, and they have really become, as Jesus said, an adulterous generation that is seeking after a sign. These are people that will travel all across America, travel from foreign countries to come to Toronto or Pensacola or Kansas City, wherever, because they want to get in on the signs and wonders.
Bob Alico, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues, Etc. It's been tremendous talking to you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Todd.
Folks, we're going to be continuing our discussion on the alleged new outpourings of the Holy Spirit live in the next hour on the Internet. You can join us, of course, by going to our website, issuesetc.org. When you get there, click on the worldwide KFUO logo that you find there, and you'll be able to listen, issuesetc.org. We will be taking your phone calls as well for Bob Alico in the next hour on the Internet, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Now, to the best callers in the next hour, we will give a complimentary copy of Bob's new book, Blessing or Judgment, The Origin of Manifestations in the Church, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Mother's Day, May the 11th. Write this number down. Give us a call in the next hour, 1-800-730-2727. If you're getting a busy signal, keep on trying. We'll be freeing up phones. 1-800-730-2727, and our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Do we have to lay aside the agenda of God's Word in order for the Holy Spirit to move? No, the Holy Spirit moves through the Word, through the preaching of Christ. The Holy Spirit is promised to take what is His and make it known to us. And what is the Holy Spirit making known? But Christ and Him crucified. That is how. Christ is given all glory to proclaim Him the Savior of the world from all sin. You don't need signs for that. You need Jesus Christ to be proclaimed clearly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.